Good to see everyone here this morning. Let's remember those people that were mentioned in our prayers. Just to mention also as a reminder that Teresa and I will be leaving, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, heading to New Mexico to visit our newly engaged daughter, and her fiancé will be out there for a week and be back a week from Monday. So we request prayers for a safe trip for us. We're looking forward to that. Never been to that part of, been through Arizona for a little while, but I've never been to New Mexico, so looking forward to visiting that part of the world. I have a visual aid today, and it'll make sense in a few minutes when I show you this visual aid. I'm not much of a person with tools, but I do have a visual aid. It'll become evident in a few minutes why I actually purchased this. And I didn't even know what you call it until I read about it. David probably know this. He's an excellent contractor and so on and so forth. And people, other people probably know what it is too. But this is a plumb line. A plumb line. Say, well, that's interesting. And I didn't realize this, but that thing on the end is the plumb bob. I don't know why they call it bob, but anyway, there's a reason I'm showing you this. And I want to point out a couple things about this. When I hold that up, that line is straight. That line is straight. And also, this weighs 5 ounces. If I handed this to you, you'd be surprised how heavy this is. And there's a reason for that. If it was something light, it could be easily swayed, maybe by some wind or something. But actually, there are ones that you can buy that are quite heavy. But that's a plumb bob, and that's a plumb line. Now, you say, why would you bring that up this morning about this? No, we're not going to be doing any construction work today. But there's a reason for it, and I want to point that out. Here's another picture of that, this will become evident in a few minutes why we're talking about this today. As you see, that line is straight, but the wall is crooked. Now, if somebody is putting up a building, or let's say you're hanging a picture or something like that, you can use actually that plumb line, which is straight, to line up the picture or whatever you're doing, or correct a wall. And you understand the principle, and that's about all the knowledge I have of construction. But you see, there's a reason for that. Now, you say, why would you bring that up today? Well, would you believe in the Bible that God talks about a plumb line? In the book of Amos, in Amos chapter 7, he gives 5 examples of visions there. Well, let me repeat that. He gives 5 visions to Amos. And if you get down towards the end of that particular chapter, in the 7th chapter, and in verses 7 through 9, here's what Amos wrote. He said, this is what he, being God, showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel, and I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. And my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. So, it's interesting to note, when the Lord said, what is this, Amos? Amos knew immediately what it was. So this particular thing here is historic. In other words, for thousands of years, people have figured out if you want something straight that stays straight, get a plumb line. Amos knew immediately what it was. Notice he didn't say, I don't know, Lord, what that is. What is that? He said, it's a plumb line. He knew what it was. Now, there's a reason for that, and why are we putting that in the lesson this morning? In Matthew, the 7th chapter, And in 24 through 27, Jesus talks about it into the subject of straight and solid surfaces. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So, obviously, if you're going to build something, it needs to have a solid rock foundation, so to speak, or something so it won't wash away. You know, we saw recently down in South Broward and into Miami-Dade where a lot of things washed away. And, you know, we saw a lot of cars that were floating away and things floating away when the floods came. Now, I understand there's certain principles as far as cars are concerned, but the fact of the matter is, though, when you're building something, you don't want to just stick a building up on some sand and say, "Well, I hope it stays stable." It's not going to. It wouldn't take much of a weather event for it to be destroyed. So Jesus said, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. So really, that's our intent in this conversation this morning, in this sermon this morning. Jesus said, you hear these words of mine and you put them into practice. Now, again, I'm not a builder, but I hear that there are blueprints. And when you have blueprints and you lay out the blueprints and you've got the lot or whatever you're going to do to build a building, segue for just a second, at the corner of A1A and Atlantic, they have torn down a building that has been there since the 50s. They tore it down. And I was in Walgreens yesterday and the right next door. And the gal said, I said, "You know what's going in there?" And she said, "What?" I said, "There's going to be a condo building that's going in there that's going to rise up at least 20 stories on that particular corner." She said, "Really?" And she said, "Oh, that's really tall." And I said, and we got into a conversation about how tall it will be and so on and so forth. And I thought about that in the lesson today. I thought, they're clearing away all that rubble, but they're going to be, if you ever notice, when somebody's building something, they put up a fence, and it's a long time before you actually see something coming up out of the ground. That's why they're making it stable, so it doesn't fall over. We saw what happened in Surfside about, I think, 2 to 3 years ago. What happened there when they had some challenges. So what do you need to have? You need to have a firm and stable foundation. Because it says in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 11, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." You know, we talk about teaching people the gospel. And Teresa and I were in Tampa last weekend and at an event there at the college. But anyway, there were several men there who have traveled many times around the world teaching people in different countries. And one man in particular who spends almost half of his time in places all over the world teaching other people, he said, "What I do," he said, "we talk about the five steps of salvation," so on and so forth, "but that's kind of down the road, so to speak, because a lot of people, the first thing they need to hear is about Jesus. Is about Jesus." And so when you think about what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 11, people need to understand who is that foundation For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. People need to understand that and need to understand the importance of Jesus and what he means to the world. When you think about teaching the gospel, when you think about the Word of God, here's an interesting point. Every wall should be built by God's plumb line. By our every decision and action, we continually build a wall of character, whether consciously or not. We are building a wall of character by some kind of standard. You ever think about that? What are some of the standards by which many people build? So in other words, the point that's being made here is people go through the day and they live their lives. And they don't realize whether consciously, they might think about something like this consciously, but many of them are unconscious, realize they're building a wall of some kind. You build a wall every day. Whether consciously or subconsciously, you are building a wall. But what are some of the ways people are building their own personal wall? The first one, if I ask you that, I don't want a public response, but if I were to ask you, what's the first thing people think about in building a wall for themselves? And it's obvious. Is it pleasure? Yeah. That's the way many people think. How can I be happy today? What sort of pleasure can I engage in? Now, you can be happy in the right way. We love going twice a week to see our little grandkids. That makes us happy. We love to do certain things out in the world that are right, and that makes us happy. But the problem is, though, when people are building their own wall, they look at the world of pleasure, and they don't realize that that's really what they're building, a life of pleasure. And here's what Jesus said in Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 16 through 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. See, that fellow that is being talked about there was really building a wall of pleasure. He said, all I have to do is I've got it made. He said, I can just take it easy. Live a life of pleasure. Just take it easy. What's he doing there? He's really building a wall of pleasure. Building a wall of pleasure. Now keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that, building that wall a little later. But he said, but he was told, what was he told? This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Pardon me from repeating this again. And some of you, I've had this, said this a few times, but whenever I think about this idea, I think about this particular event. When I was working at the nursing home, I mentioned there was a lady who passed away. Very wealthy. Very wealthy. She was quite elderly. When she passed away, her two nephews and the nephews' wives came into the funeral home. Now, normally when you come into a funeral home, it's not an event where you're going to be happy. Oh, let me tell you something. They were happy. They had the biggest smile on their face. They could hardly control their glee. And it really, you know, you can't say anything, but it just, I just, you know how I felt seeing this? Because you realize what was going on. You realize that's where the money's going. We found out that was the case. So they thought, we've made it. We're rich now. You know what? They're building a wall that way. I don't know what happened after that point, but that's the wall that they built. What else? Another thing that happens in the world is popular opinion. Exodus 23:2 in the New International Version says this: "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd." A friend of mine said one time, he goes, "We go to a denominational church." He said, "There are 2,000 people where I attend." He said, "You know, 2,000 people can't be wrong." Interesting, isn't it? What the majority think. If there's 2,000 people, well, obviously the 2,000 people can't be wrong. So what is said here? Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. You know, a great example of that, and I think about this quite often, is Noah. Everybody remembers Noah as an ark builder and as a fellow that he built an ark. But the fact of the matter is, though, he built an ark, but he was also a preacher. And he was a preacher for a long, long time. Now you say, well, if you've been doing this for like 120 years, you're probably going to get a big following. Well, he didn't get that. Who wound up going on the ark? Wound up just being a few people, his family members, going on the ark. So you say, well, he must have been wrong. No, it turns out he was right. And as the saying goes, when the flood waters were rising, there are a lot of people thinking, you know, I have second thoughts about that Noah fella. And that's the way it is. That's the way it was back at that time. You know, when you think about the plumb line of truth, all our thoughts and actions must be measured by God's word, not man's opinion, man's want, but by God's plumb line. See, when you think about the way the world thinks, most people think that you follow a certain man's opinion, what a man wants. But they need to realize that it's God's plumb line that is the standard of truth. And as we often quote in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Why can we have so much confidence in that? Because we realize it's God's plumb line. The writer of Hebrews said in the 2nd chapter and in verses 1 through 3, "We must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we don't drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable and every violation and act of disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard." What does Peter say in the 4th chapter in verse 11? "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever." What's the point? God has created a plumb line. You see, when he said to Amos, he said, Amos, when the Lord said, Amos, what do you see? Amos said, I see a plumb line. Why was he talking about that? Why did he bring that up? Because he was talking about in the fact that here is the right way that my people should be going, but they have strayed away from my long plumb line. Remember that plumb line that I showed you a few minutes ago? There's some that are heavier than this. This is the one I bought. I said, that's 5 ounces. And it's quite heavy, surprisingly heavy, at the end of this line. So you think about this in relationship to the Word of God, and you think about it being straight and it being unmovable. Unmovable. But here's the challenge. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? We had a lady, when you live in a building like we do, where there's quite a few elderly people, every once in a while they post a picture in the lobby of so-and-so who lived in whatever apartment or condo apartment has passed away, and they usually put it right there by the concierge desk. And the interesting thing that caught my attention was she was a member of another religious group. He said she was devout. She was devout. In other words, you read in between the lines that you couldn't sway her because that was her standard. And I'm sure she probably did it in good conscience. But the fact of the matter is, the proverb says, there's a way which seems right to a person, but its way is death. The challenge is, in religion and morality, people have failed to realize the one perfect standard, and that's God's plumb line. Because in James chapter 1 and verses 22 through 25, it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. What's he saying? What is James saying here? Take a look at God's plumb line. Take a look at it. Remember it. Focus on it. Be a doer of it, and you won't fall away. In the book of Isaiah, in the 28th chapter and in verses 16 and 17, there's a plumb line in the scriptures as an illustration of judgment. It said, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for a foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place. When you think about the judgment of God, when you think about his judgment, think about the judgment day and what Jesus says will be the standard, what the Bible says will be the standard of that. And it talks about the book of life, and you want to be in the book of life at the judgment day. You know, the judgment of God is always, always according to truth. In Romans, the second chapter, in verse 2, he said, "And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things." Talking about what the people did in the previous verse there and what happens. In the 12th chapter, verse 48, Jesus said, "The one who rejects me and does not accept my teachings has one who judges him. The word which I spoke, that will judge him on the last day." You think about that. The plumb line never changes. The plumb line never changes. And in Revelation 20, and in verses 11 and 12, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deed." And I inserted in there, these are my words here, "No partiality." No partiality. At the judgment day, the Lord's not going to say, "Well, you know, you didn't really follow the plumb line, but you know, you're just such a nice guy. You didn't follow the plumb line, but you know, you just really did well in the financial world." So we could go on and on and on. So what's the point that's being made here in Revelation 20 and verse 12? "They're judged from the things which are written according to the books, according to their deed." In other words, according to their deed. In other words, have you stayed true to the plumb line? And here's the challenge. We all fall short. So if we take a look at the plumb line, which is the Word of God, we have the ability to make corrections and get back to the straight and narrow, so to speak. You see, when you think about a plumb line and you think about its purpose and you hold it up and you're building something or putting up something in a room or whatever, and you see that plumb line, because it is gravity-driven and heavy, gravity-driven, is not going to sway. So therefore, what do? If you're off, you move it according to the plumb line. You say, okay, now it's straight. You ever put up a picture? We all have, many, many times. And you stand back and you go, "Yeah, I think this is right." And you go back across the room and you go, "That's not right." And you go back up and you move it up a little more this way. And you go, "I think that's right." You go back and you go, you know, when you're in a married situation, Here's me. I'm going. Teresa says, "Nope, move it down on the right, push it up on the left, so on and so forth." We've all been there and done that. So in other words, you want it to make it straight. You want it to look right. Spiritually speaking, it can be off, so to speak, but when you have a standard that you look at, and we all fall short, there needs to be a correction. You need to move that in line so it's right. Here is an interesting thing. God will never read the measurements incorrectly. Because in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit." We're all building a wall. So what do we need to do? And we're closing out. In building a wall, it's far better to test each section by the plumb line as we build. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Are we out of plumb? In 1 Corinthians 9:27, we need to bring our bodies into the subjection of the plumb line. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we study. Remember how often builders examine their blueprints. I'm not a builder, but I've seen pictures and seen people put their blueprints out, and they keep looking at the blueprint, and they, if necessary, make a correction in what they're building according to the blueprints. If you went out and said, I think that's just close enough. Just try to put up a wall here. It's not going to work. But that's a physical example, but this is a spiritual application that we can fit into that. Remember, in every field of human interest, the necessity of the standard is realized. You think about sports. People get out of college as football players. What do? They send them up to Indianapolis every year, and they make them run. They make them jump. You say, well, it's a football player. Yeah, but here's the point. Here's the point. If you're a football player, your goal is to run faster than the fellow chasing you. So they see how fast you can run. We were watching the Olympics. And they said that so-and-so ran this particular time, but they had to run above a standard to qualify to be in the trials. If you ran less than that time under the standard, you could not go to the trials. So in sports, we understand that. In science, you understand that. In carpentry, you understand that. In masonry, you understand that. That there is a standard that has to be realized. Remember, no one can succeed spiritually without constant use of the plumb line of God. And I found this picture, and this will be our close, by the way. We're going to do the song here in just a second. I thought this really fit perfectly into it. That plumb line is pointing to the Word of God. In other words, saying, here's the standard. Here's the standard. Thanks for your good attention this morning. Brother James has selected an invitation song. If there's anybody subject to the Lord's invitation, we sing to encourage. If there's anybody subject in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?
Would you be free from the burden of sin?